gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive Through HR. And today we're going to kick off the show. Let's get right to it and welcome our wonderful guest, first time on the show. So please welcome Raymond Lee. Raymond, welcome to the show.
Nisha, thank you so much for having me this afternoon. Appreciate it. Look forward to it.
How are you doing, by the way?
I'm doing great. Yeah, things are going really well. Business is good.
All right, that's great to hear. You know, Raymond, at Drive Through HR, we normally let our guests introduce themselves and kind of give a shout out to our audience. So why don't you kick off the show by telling them who you are and what you do?
Sure, Nisha, thanks so much. I've worked in HR for probably about 15 years in more of a corporate generalist role, and I'd say in 2008 left HR to start Career Minds, and we are a outplacement company, but we do outplacement in a very different way. We do it more virtually, so we've created a very unique technology solution platform that is accessible anywhere, anytime. So it's a software as a service cloud-based platform. And our participants, the employees that are displaced, have access to it, as well as their coaches over the phone, Skype, email, et cetera. So we've been doing that for since 2008 and currently are working in U.S. and Canada. But so sort of left the HR world and now run an outplacement company.
Well, that is so interesting to hear, Raymond. Well, before we get to, you know, what's keeping you up at night, our regular question of Drive Through HR, we would appreciate to hear some of the, you know, behind-the-scenes stories. Because you've been in the HR industry for the past 15 years, started your career as a generalist, and then you've become an entrepreneur right now, right? So how was that transition worked out for you, and how did you get this idea of starting a Career Mind?
Sure. So when I would say toward the end of my HR stint, I guess, I had some experience working with a company creating and implementing in-house outplacement centers. So I've really had the opportunity to sort of create a brick-and-mortar type of outplacement center where we had resources and career consultants and computers, and this was in the early 2000s at the time of the tech bubble. And I had an opportunity to see outplacement more from a traditional lens firsthand. And I found that there were a lot of opportunities to increase engagement. And I think that that's probably one of the main topics that, keeps HR up at night is how do you engage employees into their work and into the company. And so, what we think about within outplacement is how do you get people that have lost their job to really engage into their career transition program. And so, part of what I found in more of the brick-and-mortar approach is that people tend not to utilize the resources and engage into the services that their company is providing to them. I think part of that is because everything today is online. We're booking travel online, we're banking online. So for people to get into a car and drive 45 minutes for a 30-minute meeting just didn't make sense. So part of that is really what kind of fueled this idea of creating more of a technology-fueled solution. So engagement for us with our job seekers was something that we really wanted to foster and create.
That is wonderful. So what do you think, like, throughout your experiences, what do you recommend to those organizations out there when it comes to helping out those employees who are leaving their organization to kind of pursue their career without any career break?
So let me just make sure I understand the question. So you're asking for advice for employees who are leaving their organization who may not have an outplacement program but need to transition out
they may not, be necessarily having an outplacement program within the organization, but still, you know, to take care of the employees who are leaving. So what do you recommend? Do you recommend to have an outplacement in an organization or any other options that you would suggest?
I think that networking is key. You know, one of the things that we find is that participants going through our program rely too heavily on job boards and sort of the traditional ways of finding jobs. And I think that networking and really creating a network environment is really important, whether you're trying to grow within a company or even transition out of a company into a new role. So many times I find HR practitioners, I have several friends who are in HR roles from a variety of different levels, and they get so entrenched into the day-to-day operations of their work, whether they're supporting a large group, whether they're handling or managing large projects, they tend to not get involved in their local association, things like SHRM, HRPS, ASTD, et cetera. And I think it's so important that, you know, as you're building your career in HR, it's so vital that you stay involved in your association and build your network, because those are the people that are really going to help you transition. And that really is across any industry, I think.
That's true. That's true. You know, this reminds me, going back to my college. I mean, in every college, we do have this alumni meet, right? So when it comes to employees, I guess we should be doing that the same way, to getting connected with those engaged employees who were there at the organization, but due to certain reasons, they have to leave the organization. But we can rehire them at some point of time, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Well, you started the conversation with employee engagement as a topic. So in this HR industry and wherever you search, you know, there are a lot of discussion happening at the front end during the onboarding or how to make an employee engaged when he comes inside the organization. But there is not that many talk that is going on about employee engagement versus people who are leaving the organization. So do you think employers should be taking some decisions strategically when it comes to treating the employees who are leaving the organization?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I've read, and I've been posting webinars through sponsored by our company, and things that we're talking about as it relates to, you know, we're in a war for talent. I mean, that's something that HR executives are dealing with on a regular basis. And the number one challenge I'm reading in all of the surveys that I'm faced with that I read about is that retaining and rewarding the best employees and top talent is the biggest challenge. And it's not compensation that people are motivated by anymore. It used to be a big factor in, you know, in employees' motivation. And I think that as the workforce is changing, part of what we do, what we talk about as it relates to employee engagement is what motivates people. And in today's research, flexibility in work schedules, flexibility in how people get work done is the number one way that organizations are retaining and rewarding the best employees and top talent. And what that looks like is, you know, maybe you have some flexible work arrangements where employees have a little bit more flexibility in their schedule. They may work from home one day a week, or they may have some flexible hours. And I feel like with the way that technology is enabling us to be more productive and more efficient in the way we work, employees can get work done in different ways. They don't have to be in the office 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. So I think that if people feel good about, you know, their work situation, they're going to be more engaged in the types of work that they do.
That's true. You know, when we talk about that aspect, I would guess organizations can use exit interviews as a strategic tool to know why people are leaving. Is it something that is because of, you know, the lack of engagement, or is it something, what is that main reason why people are leaving? So what do you think that exit interviews can do when it comes to elevating that engagement process within the organization?
I think exit interviews can be effective. Sometimes, you know, when I was in the seat of the employee relations and involved in managing and being involved in exit interviews, I think sometimes you get the truth of what people really feel was issues why they were leaving. You know, sometimes, I think it's always related to, you know, three things, whether it's the company, their supervisor, or their, you know, compensation packages. Generally, it's one of those three that tends to cause people to leave. And, you know, I think in some cases you get that out of the exit interview, but I think that as you're acquiring new talent and you're developing talent, it's so important that you connect with your employees in a way that's meaningful, where you understand what issues they're having as it relates to the job that they're doing. So we have I've been doing a little bit of research in just in talent management and looking at this idea of human synergy. And so many times companies will focus more on the competencies of you know, sort of the technical expertise the person brings, but a lot of times they fail to look at the compatibility, sort of the behavioral side of, you know, how people work and the types of styles that they bring to the table. And so many times I feel that people leave because they're not just compatible with the position that they're in. And, you know, that will come out of the exit interview in some cases. And many times at that time, it's too late to try to get them reengaged. They've already checked out. So I try to, you know, when I'm coaching people and talking with HR folks, I try to get them to identify issues sooner than in the exit interview process. Now, that's going to allow you to go back and try to fix some of the problems that you've had in the first place.
That's true. I know you are working with a lot of clients when it comes to role placement that would be individual people who are really looking forward to work. So, and nowadays we can see that a lot of layoffs are happening in many, many companies out there. For example, Best Buy, Sprint, and Microsoft are some of them to name out. So I wanted to ask that, how does layoffs affect the bottom line of an organization, or how much disruption layoffs create generally?
So, you know, companies are going to go through cycles of expansion and contraction. And I think that from my perspective, layoffs definitely affect employee morale. It affects employee engagement. I've been involved in, you know, over my career, several large-scale layoffs where there were different types of approaches as far as how layoffs are executed and implemented. And I think that companies that identify, let's say, for example, it's a you know, merger acquisition that takes place. Maybe, you know, maybe a company lost a big contract of some sort and they need to reduce some headcount. I think it's really important to just in one cycle go through a process to identify what you want to minimize the impact to the bottom line. So if you do several rounds of layoffs, which is something that I've experienced, where say over the course of a year you do, you know, two or three different layoffs, I think that's going to have a greater impact on your bottom line, because people are going to worry about, you know, well, am I going to be in the next round? And they're going to be less focused on their job, which is going to in turn affect the bottom line. So when we work with clients in the pre-planning layoff process, you know, we always try to get executives to think about having the layoff and basically just one, you know, just one event, and try to and so you quickly, you know, you quickly identify where the business has gone. You have to identify who, what key talent needs to stay, what talent will be displaced, and then you move forward, and you have to, you know, sort of, you know, re-engage employees into the vision of where the company is going to go. And depending on the size of the event or the layoff, you have to really, you know, focus on your communications from the top to make sure people understand the new direction. So I think as it relates to the bottom line, I feel like the longer you prolong and have several layoffs, I think that employees will get distracted and they're going to be less engaged, which is going to affect the overall bottom line.
That is absolutely true. Well, you know, there is a gap between that layoff and then the time for re-engagement, right? So there is a lot of ambiguity that can happen in between in the workforce. So how do you think, you know, basically, we know only 13% of employees are engaged as per the Gallup study. But still, during these difficult situations like layoffs and all, downsizing and all, how do you think organizations should avoid that ambiguity among employees and let them know this is going to happen and here it is what it is?
So is it focusing on the communication aspect of the employees, mm-hmm. of something coming up, and how do you communicate that?
Yeah, how do you go about communicating that?
So I think there's a couple of ways. Companies have approached an event. So if we're talking about conducting a large-scale layoff of, you know, several thousand people or several hundred people, I think you want to, preparation is key, and you have to be prepared and you have to be organized as far as what you're going to say to exiting employees, how long you're going to meet with them, what the message is going to be. So there's quite a bit of pre-event planning that you have to do, but what I've done in the past is you really have to think about the logistics of how you're going to schedule those meetings. It's really common practice for executives and senior leaders to sort of communicate the state of the business as, you know, in the form of, say, town halls or webcasts or communication, you know, emails, et cetera, about just how is the business doing in general. And, you know, employees shouldn't really be surprised of the news, of the fact that, you know, there is going to be some restructuring. And so whether it's just general health of a company or health of the business, or maybe there's an event, acquisition that's taking place or a merger that's going to result in some redundancy. So it's really important that you distribute communication in a timely manner. You want to make sure that it's very specific, tied to the business. So having a general communication about just the business in general, I think, is important. But more, you know, sort of tactically, having HR really own the, you know, the actual event, the process, is really important. And I think part of that is setting up the schedule, training the managers on how to communicate the fact that an employee lost their job. So, you know, sort of walking managers through what the script is like, how do you, you know, exactly what do you say, how do you handle people that have, you know, emotional reactions in the meeting. HR really needs to help support managers through that process. And you know, just depending on the company culture, I've seen companies, you know, people are let go that particular day, But I've seen other companies where employees have a transition period, and they're told their jobs are going to be eliminated. And however, there's maybe a retention bonus where they stay on through the end of the year or for the next 6 months to help transition. This kind of depends on the company culture and I think what their objectives are. But again, I think going back and having the one event is really important just to minimize the disruption.
Mm-hmm. So in 2015, what do you foresee happening in the job market? Very basically, we kind of talked about the layoffs that are about to happen, but then I would guess you would know, and you are the person who is keeping your fingers on the pulse of job market and helping people know all the information about where to get the job or how to get the job, right?
Sure, absolutely. I think that just from my perspective and the trends that I'm seeing, I think that in healthcare alone, there's a ton of consolidation that's happening. I think that that's resulting in some redundancies. I think in 2015, financial services and banking continues to be an area where we see quite a bit of transition. There's quite a bit of M&A activity in financial services and banking. So from a job seeker perspective, I think that, again, I think going back to networking and having and creating a network that is strong is going to be the key to minimize the transition. But we're definitely not in a 2009. So, I think that the economy is much stronger today. And there's, what we're finding is people who are coming through our program are transitioning a lot quicker. They're having a lot more activity. Even if you're applying to jobs online or you're networking with potential target companies, we're just finding the overall health of the economy and the cycle of how long it takes people to get back to work is a lot shorter. So it's definitely looking much better.
All right. So what is your number one tip for our candidates out there or job seekers out there when it comes to looking for a job that they would love to do?
Number one tip, I would say, first of all, you should be using social media. You should be using Twitter to find jobs. You should be following companies that are, I guess, embrace social media as a general statement is going to be critical, whether you're on LinkedIn, whether you're on Twitter, Facebook. Embrace social media. If you are a baby boomer who hasn't relied on social media to find a job, I think that you need to really consider that as a way to network. And companies today are posting jobs on Twitter. All companies have Facebook pages. They have LinkedIn pages. So I think it's definitely something that's here to stay and should be embraced. And we're finding, the more people are using social media, just the more effective they are in terms of networking, staying connected, and landing jobs faster.
All right. So landing jobs faster, that is a toughest aspect that every job seeker out there might be facing, I guess. So what do you recommend to those job seekers who had a break in their career, maybe due to some other reason, maybe they haven't got a job that they would love to do, or maybe because of the skill gap? So what do you recommend to those job seekers? How should they go about fixing that career break and then land a job as soon as possible?
Sure. There's lots of people who take some time off and have gaps in employment. Some people have been on the market for more than a year, 2 years. So, you know, people like that are struggling and need some help. I think we take a branding approach, and part of what we talk about when we talk about professional branding is looking back and identifying what are things that you've done in your past, specific accomplishments within jobs that are going to speak to your ability to do the job that you're applying to. And it's really important that in your resume that you highlight those key accomplishments, particularly in the case of jobs that you're applying to. So they may be, maybe you're looking to get into a field that may not be necessarily what you've done in the past. Maybe you've done some things in a job that demonstrate your ability to do some things that you want to do. So branding yourself and highlighting those accomplishments on the top of your resume is going to be really important. One thing that we've also encouraged people to do is do pro bono work. So I can share an example of someone that I was recently coaching who worked in traditional print advertising for many years, and she was, she was involved with companies and in financial services and banking, worked in print advertising, has no social media experience, has no digital marketing experience, but knows that that's where the trends are going, and companies are looking for that. In this person's case, she was a stay-at-home mom, and just was out of the workforce for 2 years. Well, the workforce in marketing has changed quite a bit since then. So one of the things that she had done was she went to work for a startup company and put on her resume that, she's working for this company. The company never paid her, but she was able to learn. She did get a couple of certifications HubSpot and some others that really kind of taught her about the digital marketing function, and so it basically allowed her real-world experience in the areas that she was looking. It showed that she's currently employed. It didn't matter that the company wasn't paying her, but the fact that she got some experience, and then that job actually helped her land her next job. So it was sort of a give and take. And so you have to think about, maybe there's a nonprofit organization out there that you can volunteer for. There's work out there that you can be doing to stay relevant. Put that on your resume. Don't be shameful about it. And that's going to help you land your next job quicker.
Wonderful. That is a great example that you have highlighted right now. And I hope our audience, if anyone out there who is in that situation, would do the same. Well, Raymond, thank you so much for joining and share your valuable insights with our audience. So where can they connect with you, kind of, continue this conversation or hold on to you?
Sure. Well, you can find me on LinkedIn, Raymond Lee, Career Minds. You can email me at rlee@careerminds.com. And I would say, send me an email or a connection on LinkedIn, and would love to connect, or you can email me. Would love to hear from anyone who is on the call here today.
All right. So, guys, that was Raymond Lee, and connect with him on Twitter as well. And his Twitter handle is @virtualhrpearl. So, Raymond, thank you so much, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.